Hello, everyone. Brothers and sisters, last week we talked about the spirit of evil, the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist means not believing that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. It is the denial of Jesus Christ as a deity. Most who profess this belief acknowledge that Jesus was a teacher or a prophet, but that he was not God. The spirit of Antichrist has been in the world since Jesus began his ministry here on earth. On many occasions, Jesus declared that he came down from heaven to do the will of his Father, which was in heaven, and he said that he and his Father were one. Every time he proclaimed his true identity, the Pharisees and the scribes accused him of blasphemy and took up rocks to stone him. On several occasions, they accused him of having a devil, and they plotted to have him crucified. They did not believe that Jesus was sent from God, and they certainly didn't believe he was God in the flesh. This is the spirit of Antichrist that has been in the world ever since the days of Jesus' ministry. It is in the world today, and it's a spirit of evil. It goes against everything that is taught in the Bible. Now, last week, we mentioned some religious faiths that deny that Jesus is the Son of God who came to earth in human flesh. Some of those beliefs that believe that way is Islam, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, New Agers, the Unitarian Universalists, Christian Scientists, the Philadelphia Church of God, the Global Church of God, United Church of God, and the Church of Scientology. Now, I mentioned these, and you might wonder, well, why do you mention those? But, you know, we are supposed to let people know who are against Jesus Christ, who are against the one true and living God. You know, the spirit of Antichrist works in religious circles today just as it did in Jesus' day. No difference. It works to tear down all that Jesus taught in the Gospels and the Apostles taught in the New Testament letters. Jesus and the Apostles both warned of false apostles and false teachers that would come as wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus' half-brother Jude said in verse 4 of the book of Jude, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness." That simply means unbridled lust, having no shame, lacking self-control, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The word lascivious certainly describes our society today. Our society is full of unbridled lust. People who have no shame and lack self-control. We're a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. The war against evil has been going on since Adam's fall in the garden, and there are plenty of examples of battles in scriptures that show us how God helped the Israelites defeat their evil enemies. One of the most beloved stories in the Bible tells about the defeat of what seemed to be an insurmountable evil. It's the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Philistines were an aggressive, whoremongering people who appeared in Canaan around the 12th century B.C. There's no written records to indicate where they came from. The Philistines were hostile to intellectual and cultural values. For a time, these people gained control of the coastal plains, which are now Israel and Gaza, and they were the main enemy of the Israelites. 1 Samuel 17 begins with the army of the Philistines gathered together on the top of a mountain that the armies of Saul, king of Israel, gathered at the top of another mountain with a valley in between. The Philistines sent out their champion, who would fight the champion of the Israelites to determine who would win the battle. Now this great giant, champion of the Philistines, was Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Goliath was over 9 feet tall, and he said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The Israelites had no match for Goliath. Morning and evening for 40 days, Goliath presented himself to the Israelites, who had no one to challenge Goliath. Now, David's three oldest brothers were serving Saul, and David was at home tending his father's sheep. David's father sent him to Saul's camp to check on his brothers and take some food to them. And David got there just in time to see Goliath come out of the Philistine camp and say, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And David's eldest brother was angry with him and said, Why are you here, and who is tending the sheep back home? I think you just wanted to come here to see the battle. And David said in our scripture for today in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? When Saul heard about what David said, he sent for David and said, You're just a youth. You can't go up against the Philistine, who's been a man of war since his youth. So David told Saul about the lion and the bear that he slew to protect his father's sheep. And David said, This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God. Finally, David said, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and bear will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul agreed to let David represent Israel against Goliath, and you know the rest of the story. David was willing to fight against an evil that appeared to be undefeatable. He said, Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Goliath had defied the armies of the living God, and that was enough for him to see that there was a cause. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, we have a cause today. We're like David. Is there not a cause? But we have a cause today, just like there was during David's time. We are up against giants in our society that defy the living God. This evil that we're talking about today, we're up against evils in our society that are so entrenched in our lives that it's hard to break the stranglehold they have on us. But I ask you, is there not a cause? What kind of people will our children and our grandchildren turn out to be if our society becomes more evil than it already is? But just how big is this evil we're up against, and how much of our society does it affect? We talk casually now about all the things going on in our society and how much it's changed since we were growing up. I decided to find out now just how big the problem is. And we need to know, we all need to know, how big is this evil? And what do we need to be doing about it? Now let me tell you what I found out about this Goliath that we're up against now, right now. Is there not a cause to do something to defend our country, our people, our children, our grandchildren, those that are going to come after us, after we're dead and gone? Is there not a cause, like David said? Now, let me tell you, our government is so corrupt that it's ceased to represent the people. Now I'm talking about our elected officials in the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate. I'm talking about elected officials in state legislatures and governors. I'm talking about local elected officials. It doesn't matter where you look. Corruption is everywhere. Let me tell you about just a few of the evils of our government. Laws are made to benefit those that are elected, not the people who elected them. The country is being controlled by lobbyists who pay our congressmen and senators to vote for bills that will enrich corporations like the pharmaceutical industry. Now, the Federal Reserve, a private central bank, controls our interest rates and manipulates the stock market. It prints our money, lends it to us, and collects the interest. That's the most insane arrangement I've ever heard of. No wonder our national debt is so high. Most of it is interest we owe from borrowing our own money. Career politicians get reelected for 20 and 30 years because they steal elections. Our rigged voting machines are controlled by companies owned by George Soros, a billionaire who wants this country destroyed so it can become part of a global government. Our Supreme Court has declared abortion legal abortion and same-sex marriage legal, which goes against what God says is legal in the Bible. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg co-authored a book called Sex Bias in the U.S. Code, a report of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. In the book, she advocates lowering the age of sexual consent to 12 years old. It would make sex with children 12 years and older legal. She declared the Mann Act as offensive and should be repealed. Now listen to me. The Mann Act is a law which punishes persons who engage in interstate sex traffic of women and girls. Ginsburg seems to believe that interstate sex trafficking of women and girls should be legal as well. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a justice of our Supreme Court, the highest court in the land. We have a giant to fight. We have a giant to fight when we try to fix the evil that is in our federal government. That's the giant we're looking at, just one of the giants. Is there not a cause? I'm asking you. Is there not a cause? Do we not need to know about these things? Do we not need to do something about it? We need to be working on it right now, brothers and sisters. The evil in the entertainment industry is another giant that we must battle. When pornography was legally recognized as an art form and protected by free speech, a huge portion of this country became porn addicts. 12% of the websites on the internet are pornographic. Every second, $3,074.65 is spent on pornography. 40 million Americans are regular visitors to porn sites. 2.5 billion emails per day are pornographic. There are 116,000 searches for child pornography every day, every single day. In the United States, internet porn sites rake in $2.84 billion per year. That's unbelievable. Staggering. And child pornography has gone to a new level. Instead of just pictures of naked children, child porn today includes videos of adults raping children and infants under 3 years old. And what about Christians now? In a pastors.com survey, 54% of pastors said that they viewed porn within the past year. And a focus on the family poll revealed that 47% of respondents said porn was a problem in their home. An industry this big is a giant evil in this country. I'm telling you, it is a giant evil. And that is just a small portion of the entertainment industry. Hollywood is even bigger than the porn industry. Every year, hundreds of films are made that indoctrinate our children in things that go against what they are taught at home. Hollywood films promote abortion and homosexuality. They promote murder and rape. They promote sexual promiscuity. They promote young children and teenagers rebelling against adults. Haven't you noticed over the years, as you look at the lives of movie stars, that all of the evil things they do in real life, where does it end up? It's portrayed in the movies that they make. And what our children see in movies, they accept as normal. Over the past 50 years, Hollywood has changed the direction of our culture. Our vulnerable children want to imitate what they see in the movies. And when they grow up thinking these evil things are normal, what kind of society will we have in 20 years? 20 years down the road. The worst epidemic in Hollywood today is pedophilia. For years, agents and managers have abused child actors, and it's only gotten worse. It's opened up a whole new industry that has spread across this nation, child sex trafficking. Now, these are statistics, brothers and sisters, that I've looked up because of this evil, and we need to be, as Christians, reporting these things, looking at these things, and somehow ridding this country of this evil. According to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, the average age of a sex trafficking child is 13 to 14 years old. Each pimp can make $150,000 to $200,000 per child a year, and the average pimp has 4 to 6 girls. UNICEF estimates that there are nearly 2 million children in the commercial sex trade. The U.S. Department of Justice estimates close to 300,000 children are at risk of being prostituted in the United States right now, according to a nonprofit group dedicated to combating human trafficking. An average victim of sex trafficking may be forced to have sex up to 20 to 48 times a day. Unbelievable. In July of 2013, the FBI rescued 105 children who were forced into prostitution in the United States and arrested 150 pimps in a series of raids in 76 American cities. The campaign, known as Operation Cross Country, was the largest of its type and conducted under the FBI's Innocent Lost Initiative. It all took place in just 72 hours. The youngest victim recovered was just 9 years old. Several sting operations have resulted in arrests of pedophiles and child sex traffickers. Every day or so, I read about pedophile rings being broken up and those running them being arrested. And every day I read about more children missing. More children missing. How many children are missing all over this country every day? We can't let this evil go on. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, these are our innocent children we're talking about here. These people are sick, and they are making our society sick. It is evil, a giant evil in this country that we must fight. Is there not a cause? That's what I'm asking you. That's what David was saying here. Is there not a cause? Should we not be fighting this evil? Now, the music industry, you think about these things. The music industry is another aspect of our entertainment society that is full of evil. We all watched as Hannah Montana, the cute teenager in the Disney series, turned into the most vile, vulgar, satanic-looking creature in music videos. You'll see satanic symbols on jewelry and clothing in music videos of Madonna and Lady Gaga, Ozzy Osbourne, Katy Perry, Marilyn Manson, Beyoncé, and many others, and even some of our elected officials, and even one of our vice presidents that lifted up Beyoncé and some of these other people and said they would like for their children to be just like them. I just can't believe that our people, the people that we look up to, that we let them continue to idolize these people and let our children idolize them. Several of these music video stars that I've mentioned have performed satanic rituals during the Super Bowl halftime performance show over the past 5 or 6 years now. The latest fad in Hollywood is Satanism. Its symbols show up not only in music videos, but also in movies and on clothing and jewelry that the movie stars wear. Because of the exposure of the Hollywood crowd on major news networks, our society has become indoctrinated in this evil, evil, evil culture. We must fight against these things that are dangerous to our children. You listen to me now. If you're a Christian and you watch television, you're supporting this evil industry. If you go to the movies, you are supporting this evil industry. The Bible says we are not to partake of evil things or fellowship with evil. We must shun evil and fight against the growth of the evil in our society. I'm asking you now, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause, brothers and sisters? Now, if there's a cause, let me tell you what you do. You throw your TV out. You get rid of it. You sell it or whatever. Get rid of the TV, because I'm telling you, the evil that you're bringing into your home, that you've got in your living room, that your family can see, your children, your grandchildren, are looking at those things and listening to those things on the TV, bringing those things in, the filth that comes in that we're not supposed to be looking at. If there not a cause, if there is a cause, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Have you noticed? And I'm going to tell you something. I haven't had a TV. I haven't owned a TV now for 15 or 20 years. It's been some time that I haven't owned a TV. But I just personally made a statement that I didn't want this evil around me. I didn't want it around my family. And I'm asking you, is there not a cause? Now, have you noticed how many of the things we've talked about already affect our children who look to us to protect them against such things? Pictures of missing children on milk cartons has become such a common thing that we don't pay any attention to it anymore. Our children are being kidnapped, raped, and murdered, sacrificed in satanic rituals. But instead of educating them on how to protect themselves and what to do if someone tries to abduct them, our education system is doing just the opposite. It's indoctrinating kindergarten through fifth graders about how to perform sex acts. It's explaining what transgenders and lesbians and gays are. It is teaching them all the lesbian, the gay, the bisexual, transgender, and the queer terminology. It's telling girls that they might be a lesbian if they like playing with girls better than boys, and telling boys that they might be gay if they like playing with boys better than girls. Now keep in mind, this sex education is geared toward kindergarten through fifth grade. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. Is there not a cause? At that age, boys and girls aren't interested in the opposite sex. This is what our children are learning in school. They're learning that all these perverse sexual behaviors are normal. They're learning to be tolerant and accept anything, even if it goes against the biblical moral teaching that they've received at home. This is what is happening in many of our school systems today, brothers and sisters, but it can only happen if parents don't stay involved in the school programs and pay attention to what is in the curriculum. Many of these sex education classes are provided by people outside the school system who provide sex education services. Planned Parenthood is the largest provider of sex education in this country. Yes, the people who promote and provide abortions and were caught selling baby parts a few years ago are educating our children about sex. Shouldn't we be protecting our innocent children from such evils? From these evils I'm talking about? Is there not a reason for me to talk about these evils? Is there not a cause? I'm asking you that, brothers and sisters. Where is the line? Where do we stop this? Where does it go to? I've talked to a lot of people who are stunned at the things that are going on in all aspects of our society. I hear Christian mothers talk about how they can't even buy clothes for their young daughters that aren't sexually suggestive. I see teenage girls in church wearing clothes that are way too short in length and cut way too low on top, but nobody ever says anything. Our churches are just going along with the world. Church activities are worldly activities. Nobody knows how to worship anymore. The worship service is filled with announcements, plans for yard sales, upcoming picnics, instructions on how to pack a pew. Now, brothers and sisters, this is not worship. People in our churches can't worship because they can't get worldly things off their minds. The world has to be brought into the church nowadays. They think they must do that to satisfy people, that God can't satisfy them. They are unable to transcend the world and get in touch with God. worship became even more difficult when contemporary Christian rock music entered the church. The idea was to take rock music and add a Christian lyric in order to bring young people into the church. Now, I want to tell you, years ago, Nancy and I taught a discipleship training class of 7th and 8th graders. It was in the early days of Christian rock, and that's all they wanted to talk about. We asked them to bring some of the lyrics to class. One boy brought a Christian rock CD, and the CD cover had the lyrics to all the songs. We read them together. Not one mention of the shedding of blood. Not one mention of righteousness. Not one mention of repentance or redemption. Not even one mention of Jesus Christ. The lyrics were uplifting and general, but the message of Christ, it wasn't there. I'm telling you, it wasn't there. Christian rock music has split churches, with the older members leaving for churches with traditional music. Churches that haven't split have two sanctuaries, one for those who like the contemporary service and one for those who like the traditional service, or they have both services in the same sanctuary at different times. Contemporary rock music is divisive, it's fleshly, and it incites youthful lust, something the Bible says we shouldn't do. Most people don't know that rock and roll means fornication. It's a strict term for sexual immorality. Religious leaders allow this demonic music in the church and claim it's holy because the lyrics have been changed to include some religious words, but the effect is the same. It incites youthful lust. How many lives have been lost to suicide and drug abuse because of rock music? It's the music of the culture of death, and our religious leaders have allowed it to be brought into the church. Today, it's difficult to find a church that's pure. The Catholic Church is full of pedophiles, and church leaders do nothing about it. Islamic beliefs allow child brides and child rape and honor killings of family members who disgrace the family. Protestant churches accept homosexuals, transgenders, and bisexuals, and few preach against abortion. Now, Isaiah said in Isaiah, the 5th chapter, to the 20th through the 24th verse. Now, listen to me. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for a reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. This is us, brothers and sisters. We call evil good and good evil. We want to hear smooth things. We want the preacher to tickle our ears. We've cast away the law of the Lord, and we do whatever pleases us. But did you notice all the things I've talked about today that ruin the lives of our children? Have you taken account of these? We should be protecting the innocent, but we murder babies in the womb. We fail to protect them against child pornography and pedophilia. We allow our educational system to teach them things that are immoral. Now, yeah, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, there is a cause. And if we don't fight to protect the innocent, who will? Who will do it? Who's going to recognize that there is a cause? Certainly not the devil's children. David told Saul, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." The giant that we fight today is the evil in this society that will destroy us. But the same God who protected David will go to battle with us. Yes, there is a cause. There is a cause. May the Lord bless you. You may find a way that you would help to fight this evil that threatens us and threatens to destroy this country and our children.